The Gobi Desert, Anno Domini 1273. A sense of mounting panic rises in Marco's chest. A low wind has risen, and the sand stings even through the leggings. 1,000 tiny knives, he thinks. He is 17, tall, with light brown hair much too long. There's something innocent in his eyes. His clothes are faded and travel-stained. Once they were the finest a Venetian merchant could buy, but since then he has borrowed and bought burnouses and cloaks and more to replace them. Now he looks like a patchwork man. All around him stretches the sand of the Gobi Desert.
The voices. They must just be across the next dune.
The caravan. His father, his uncle. He heard them calling him.
I'm here.
Nothing.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 19, Soft Places.
The sand is soft beneath his feet. He stumbles and slides down a dune, hands awkwardly grabbing at the fine rock powder, finding no grip. He truly panics now. His mouth opens and he calls out, his voice rasping on the desert wind.
Hello?
Sand enters his mouth. He carries a skin, maybe two-thirds full of brackish water. Enough for perhaps 2 days, if he is prudent. It occurs to him then that the voices he heard may have been no more than illusions brought about by thirst and hunger. The wind rises. The sky turns the livid color of an old bruise. The world is sand, from desert floor to sky. Marco covers his face with his robe, breathes in tiny, shallow bursts, crouched against the side of the dune. He hears nothing but the hiss of sand, tastes nothing but sand. His nostrils cake with sand. The corners of his eyes clog in the darkness. In the nothing world of pain and noise, he ponders his own death. And if it is to end here, well, he has travelled further than most, aye, and at a younger age, but there are such cities still to see. The storm seems to go on for 1,000 years. Then warmth and silence and sleep. The storm is over. Marco stands, pushing himself up with his arms. Sand falls from him. He throws back the robe covering his head and knuckles the sand from the corner of his eyes, remembering as he does so a tale his mother told him in the Venice of his childhood.
There's a magic man as comes to you when it's time for you to sleep. He's tall and pale, and his clothes are every colour of the rainbow. He carries a bag of magic sand by his side. You can't see him, Marco, but he can see you. He throws the magic sand into your eyes, and that's what sends you off to dreamland. That's the sand you find in your eyes when you wake.
He brushes the sand from his clothes. Patterns. He almost grasps the patterns. And then he shakes the last of the sand from his cloak, and the patterns have gone. It is silent. There are no winds, no storms. The sand is smooth as the sky. He walks down a minor incline. It's evening, and the sun is going down slowly. Long shadows are being cast. The landscape has changed now. re-sculpted by the wind. Marco stumbles down in the chill of waking, leaves scumbled footprints in his wake. He can see where he's been. There is nothing to indicate his future path, and he hesitates. The music echoes in snatches across the silent sand. Is it in his head or out of it? He cannot tell.
No. It must be the thirst.
100 different voices echo. Words blur. The water is sour in his mouth. And then through the babble, he hears it. A voice, deep, calling his name.
Marco! Oh, Marco!
Father? Wait, Father! I'm coming! Father?
Marco, puzzled, is not looking at his father. This is a man perhaps in his late 40s, bearded, and not badly dressed at all. He seems cheerful, hale, and hearty.
I am not your father, laddie.
Oh.
But speak. Who are you? And where are you bound in this godforsaken waste?
I was looking for my father, my uncle, their caravan. We got separated somehow. But how did you come to the desert? Where are your people?
I have no people. As to how I got here, well, do you know, I'm not sure. I was in a prison cell in Genoa, and everything went so strange. I called Marco.
That's my name.
He's much older than you. My cellmate, Marco Millions. That's what they call him. Messiah Marco Millions. Oh, it's getting chilly. So, laddie, where is this place?
This is the desert of Lop.
No, don't say anything else. I have it! I forget nothing. Listen to this. The desert of Lop. Birds and beasts, there are none in this desert, because they find nothing to eat. But I assure you, a very strange thing is found here, which I shall relate to you. The truth is this. When a man is riding by night through this desert, and some things happen to make him loiter or lose touch with his companions, by dropping asleep or for some other reason, and afterwards he wants to rejoin them, then he hears spirits talking and will suppose them to be his companions. Sometimes, indeed, they even hail him by name. Often these voices make him stray from the path so that he never finds it again. And in this way, many travelers have strayed and perished.
As night gathers, the desert air cools, and Rusticello declaims. Marco fancies his surroundings have taken on a strange, gloomy quality, with skulls, rib cages, and other bones half buried in the sand. His mind's eye conjures a lone traveller kneeling, terrified, in the sand, surrounded by hostile spirit shapes. Some mounted, some in armour, some wearing turbans, under a huge crescent moon in the sky.
Sometimes in the night they are conscious of the noise, like the clatter of a great cavalcade of riders away from the road. And believing that these are of their own company, they go where they hear the noise. And when day breaks, find they are victims of an illusion and in an awkward plight. And there are some who, in crossing this desert, have seen a host of men coming towards them, and suspecting that they were robbers, have taken flight. So, having left the beaten track and not knowing how to return to it, they have gone hopelessly astray. Even by daylight, men hear these spirit voices. Often you fancy you can hear the strains of many musical instruments, especially the sound of drums and the clash of arms. For this reason, travelers make a point of keeping close together. Before they go to sleep at night, they set up a sign pointing in the direction they have to travel. and they fasten little bells all around their beasts so that they may prevent them from straying from the path. Thus it is that the desert is crossed. There! Word for word! Or near as, damn it.
What was that?
It's from the account of the travels of my cellmate, as rendered by me, Rusticello of Pisa. It's a description of the world.
I don't understand.
He's seen it all, you see. Marco Polo. He's seen the world. I just write it down.
Marco Polo? That's me.
Of course. I should have known. I'm dreaming. That's what's happening, young Marco. I'm dreaming.
So, I'm dreaming too?
Of course not. You're just something in my dream.
Oh, I don't feel like something in a dream.
Look, we can't both be dreaming, so I'm afraid it's definitely you. Well, not to worry. Dreams shouldn't worry. Let's go and find somewhere comfortable to wait until we wake. It's so rare to realize that you're dreaming when you are. Maybe we'll meet some women. Take it from me, lad. The worst thing about being in prison is having to smuggle in Genoese whores. Now, let's find some company.
Listen, old man. This is the desert of Lop. It's the most deserted spot on God's earth. We aren't going to find any company here. I have to find my father. I have to find the caravan.
No, you listen. You went through the desert of Lop on your way to Shang Tu, what, 20, 30 years ago now? You've no reason to worry. What am I doing? I'm arguing with a dream.
Or I am. Oh, it's getting cold.
Ah, well, there's a fire over there. Let's go and sit down.
A fire? It must be my father's caravan. You'll see.
Marco and Rusticello walk towards a thin skein of smoke which rises from a distant dune. The red glow of a fire becomes visible, and lit by it, a large man, wearing the clothes of a much later century, a suit, cloak, and wide-brimmed hat, sitting on a folding chair by the fire.
Hola! Come and sit down, friends. Come and warm yourselves.
As they grow nearer, they see that he sports a walrus moustache and wears a monocle. Beside him on the ground rests a sword stick and a Gladstone bag.
See? What did I tell you? It's a dream. Hail, stranger!
Come and warm yourself up. It can get cold here in the soft places.
Excuse me, sir. My father and my uncle, Niccolo and Maffeo Polo, they are with a caravan. They are traders, merchants. Have you seen them?
I haven't seen anyone. I came out to the soft places to think, to get away from myself.
Messire, have you wine?
Wine? A ruby red Beaujolais, a sweet topaz-colored Tokay? What a wonderful idea. Indeed, we will drink wine, and you will tell me your stories, and perhaps other travelers, equally as congenial, will arrive, and we will entertain them too.
You really have wine?
Sir, what kind of a traveler would I be without wine? Let me see. Stub of a train ticket, a chalk, a brown paper bag. See what happens when you leave and go somewhere else. A packet of jelly babies. Ah, wine and tankards. Tankard, young man?
Thank you.
And you, Miss Anne?
Much obliged.
Sir, forgive me for asking, but are you a dream?
Yes.
See? So, my friend, we have the wine. When do we get female company? I ache for the joys of love.
Oh, bless my soul, no. I'm trying to get away from all that.
Good wine.
The only reason I'm out here is because they keep coming for walks in me. Long ones, gazing into each other's eyes, whispering sweet and, to be frank, rather embarrassing, nothings. So I've taken an evening off.
I'm sorry?
My lord, and his new woman. I've got nothing against women or love, but, well, it's embarrassing. Enough of that. So, who are you, lad? What's your story?
My name is Marco Polo.
Ah, you know, somehow I thought it might be.
When I was very young, my father and my uncle were travelling in Constantinople. As wars broke out behind them, they were forced to continue on, to the east, into uncharted territory. Eventually, they reached the court of the great king, Kublai Khan himself, in far Cathay. Now, while the Khan himself was a heathen and an idolater, he looked kindly upon the Christian faith. My father wished to convert the Khan to the true faith, and thus convert all his empire, which extends from the lands of night in the north to the uttermost islands of the east. Imagine how many would be drawn into the faith at a stroke. What that would do to the world. But the Khan has idolater priests who work miracles for him. They ensure that it is always summer above his palace, though it rains and storms nearby. They cause his food and wine to fly into his hand so never a drop is spilled and never a man touches them. Look at them, said the Khan to my father. They have power even I fear. So this I say, go back to your Pope and tell him to send me 100 Christian miracle workers who will show my priests that your Christ can work miracles as great as those of their Gautama Buddha.
Good gracious. So what happened?
Well, they came back. I was 15. I can't have been more than 4 when they left.
Friend, have you more wine?
But of course.
But the Pope was dead, and no new Pope was chosen. They waited for 2 years for a Pope. Then, when Gregory was elected, he pointed out he didn't have 100 miracle workers. He didn't even have 1.
There's a terribly nice Franciscan in 17th century Assisi who can fly. IQ of 60, and perhaps a little too heavily into self-mutilation, but he can honestly fly. St. Joseph of Copertino. Bit after your time. Sorry. Pray, continue.
Eventually, when I was 16, we set off from Venice with 2 elderly Dominican priests.
Could they do miracles?
Well, not so you'd notice. One of them had a little thing he did with a cup and some balls, but it wasn't very impressive. They both dropped out before we reached Syria. They got scared. We went on. We've been travelling for almost 2 years now, and Kublai Khan himself waits on the other side of this desert. I have seen such cities.
Yes, that was your genius, being able to describe cities. Not just the land or the trade, but the soul of the city. What made it uniquely itself. Kublai Khan stayed in his summer palace in summer, and his winter palace in winter, like a spider edging from one side of the web to another. And you went out to all the cities in his empire and came home and described them to him. I know the story, you see. I'm writing it all down for you. So it'll be remembered.
Sir, I'm hungry. Have you got any food?
Food. Let's see what we can manage. Well, there are jelly babies. A bit sticky, but quite palatable. And, oh, good Lord! Sandwiches! I do believe it. Yes, cheese and pickle. Here you are.
Look, riders.
Where?
On the horizon. A dust cloud. I can see banners.
Is that dust? It's as if the riders themselves are made of smoke.
So many of them.
Great Lord, may we speak to you?
Oh, I don't see why not.
We seek the true world. Some of us have been searching for many thousands of years. but the true world is no closer. We ride and we ride.
I fear your business is not with me, friend, but with my master.
Sir, if we ever return to the Hardlands, there are some amongst us who believe that we would die of old age, crumbling to dust like the men in the tales. Others claim that we would return to the world on the day we left it and live out the span of our lives, and all the time we spent in this place would fade and vanish, like a dawn dream on waking that colors the day but cannot be touched or remembered. Which would it be, sir? Which would it be?
I wish I knew.
Aye. So do we, Lord. Come. Let us ride.
Are they dreams too?
Oh, yes, after their fashion. But then we are all dreams in our fashion.
I'm not.
Sir, what is this place?
Here? I thought I'd told you that already. You're in one of the soft places. There were more of them in the olden days. I remember when I was just a young vicinity, there were soft places everywhere. Well, not everywhere, but they were a sight more common than now. Even in your time, they were more common than they are today. Sometimes I think that their loss is your fault.
My fault?
Yours, Wen Tsang, Ibn Battuta's, the lot of you. The explorers, and the ones who came after you, who froze the world into rigid patterns.
You're talking as if we're dead, man. Dead and crumbled to dust.
That's what you are. To me, you're history. Both of you. 700 years gone. Time at the edge of the dreaming is softer than elsewhere. And here, in the soft places, it loops and whirls on itself. In the soft places where the border between dreams and reality is eroded, or has not yet formed. Time. It's like throwing a stone into a pool. It casts ripples. That's where we are. Here. In the soft places, where the geographies of dream intrude upon the real. Could I have your tankards, please?
Of course. Thank you for the refreshment.
Would you pass my Gladstone bag, dear sir?
This? Here.
Thank you.
Here, my tankard too.
There aren't many left in my town. This place is still soft. That's how come we can all be here together. In my day, that's 1992, this part of the desert is known as Taklamakan. That's Turkic for, if you go in, you won't come out again. Good, eh?
This is the soft place.
Not the only one. There's a few thousand square miles of Central Australia, a couple of Pacific islands, a field in Ireland, an occasional mountain in Arizona.
An occasional mountain?
It's not a very big mountain, but it's only there occasionally. Now, if you just hold open the bag, I'll put the chair in.
That's a very interesting bag.
It's useful. There. All do... Oh, I'm sorry, I almost forgot to take the fire.
The fire? In your bag?
Oh, yes. Don't worry. There's plenty of room.
I have had far too much to drink.
Sir, are there really such soft places?
Have you ever heard of Fiddler's Green, Marco? The paradise on earth that some say all sailors dream of finding?
No.
Pity. Good meeting you, gentlemen. Oh, and that's Fiddler's Green, like the colour. Perhaps you could mention it in one of your stories, Messiah Rusticello.
Yes, of course.
Messiah Rusticello? Messiah Polo?
Goodbye.
Hey! Thanks for the wine.
What a nice man. I wonder where he went.
He went wherever old dreams go, I'd imagine. Off to dreamland. You'll join him soon, and you can find out then. I'll wake up, and you'll be gone where dreams go.
I'm not a dream.
Oh, you're a dream, all right. Only question is, whose? I think you're mine. But maybe I'm wrong.
Eh?
Hey, boy. Who's dreaming you?
For the last time, nobody's dream... Messiah Rusticello? Messiah Rusticello!
And Marco is alone again.
Sir?
Hearing a sound, Marco turns to find a tall, thin stranger clad entirely in black, with a white face and a shock of black hair, standing behind him.
Sir, I am lost here. I met people, but they've all gone now. Can you help? Are you a dream as well?
Morpheus, the Lord of Dreams, is at this point not entirely in control of his own situation. He has recently escaped a long imprisonment and looks exhausted and unkempt. His clothes are dusty and worn.
Yes. Yes, I am Dream.
Dream?
I fear, however, that I am in no position to help you. I have just freed myself from captivity. I have just chastised my captor, and I am so weak. I have been away so long. I must return to my castle.
I have some water left. Do you need water?
I thank you.
Sir, are you the lord of this place?
Indeed.
I met a man in this place who spoke of a land called Fiddler's Green. He said you were in love. That you went walking all the time with your woman.
Did he say who this woman was?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
It is not important. It has happened already, or it is still to come. And forewarned is seldom forearmed. Not even in the shifting zones.
The man I mentioned, he said this was called a soft place.
Yes, that is a valid name. The soft places of the world, the shifting places, the... Oh, my head.
You look terrible. White as the man in the moon. Are you always so pale?
That depends on who's watching.
Sorry?
It's no matter. I thank you for your water, young man. I will be on my way.
Sir? Can you tell me how to get back? How to return to my father, to his caravan, to the desert of Lop?
No.
But, sir!
You come in. You do not go out again.
But... They said! They said I'd get out! The fat man and the other man, Rusticello... They said I'd get out. They said I'd go home. I don't want to be trapped here forever.
I can appreciate that. Rusticello, the fantasist. You're Marco Polo.
Yes.
I see. Yes, you are trapped. I know how that feels. But you gave me water, and I am not ungrateful. However, I am very weak, and if I help you, I may not be able to help myself.
Huh.
Marco?
Yes?
Yes. I'll send you back. You will even see your home again. You will have to go the long way, though, and you do not know how fortunate you are.
I do.
No, you don't. Hold out your hands.
As the sand falls into his hand, Marco hears the rumble of distant thunder. Storms are coming, he thinks, as if from a long way off. He finds himself able to see each falling grain of sand, distinct and unique, and he knows then that he is really dreaming. There are truly patterns. It is a revelation of a kind. Dreams and sand and stories. Deserts and cities and time. The grains fall slowly, tumbling down from the Dream King's pale fingers into his own travel-stained hand. The patterns they formed as they fell illuminate his mind, a landscape strobed by flashes of distant lightning. I'll never forget this, he thinks triumphantly. I'll never forget what I've learned here. But his world goes dark and soft and nowhere. And Marco plunges down with it. He hears the jingling of little bells. A horse, yes. Then strong hands pulling him out of the sand.
Marco! We thought we'd lost you for good. Are you all right, laddie? Christ wounds, you can't have been more than 100 feet from us all the time.
I came back.
You had us worried. We heard such strange things last night, boy. It seemed like a horde of men was riding past, although we saw nothing. Dreams and illusions breed in this damn place. Come, back to camp.
Father?
Yes?
I have to tell you about the patterns.
Patterns?
I'm sorry. Nothing. A dream. I had a dream. I don't know. It's gone now. I don't remember.
Well, come and eat. We set off again in an hour. In future, you must ignore the illusions. They're no more than dreams and of as little importance as that. They nearly killed you, Marco. Do you understand me?
Yes, Father.
Thus it is that the desert is crossed.